Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather this Easter morning. Amen. The two Marys and Salome returned to the tomb dejected in the early hours of what we now know to be Easter morning. But these women disciples of Jesus were not yet celebrating. For a heavy stone had been laid upon their hearts. The weight of despair was pressing down upon them, and it was every bit as heavy as that stone that sealed the entrance to their dead master's tomb. You see, their hearts were weighed down by grief from the gruesome events of Jesus' crucifixion, which they had personally witnessed on Friday. While other of Jesus' disciples fled, fearing their capture, these three women had stayed close by as if to give their moral support to Jesus in his dying hours. As a result, they heard all the events, such as the crowds turning on Jesus and shouting, "Crucify him!" They stood by helplessly while their master was brutally scourged with whips, mocked and beaten unmercifully by the Praetorian Roman guard. They had moved with the flow of the crowd and had seen the exhausted figure of Jesus carrying his heavy wooden cross through the streets of Jerusalem. Then they had observed the soldiers lay Jesus' lacerated and bleeding back against the hard, rough wooden beam of the cross while the nails were driven through his hands and his feet. They watched their master wince in pain after being affixed to the cross when it was lifted up and dropped into its place. They watched and they cried. And above all, they prayed and pleaded to God to make it stop, all that they saw Jesus endure. And they were right there to the bitter end. In fact, they could remember the chill run down their spines as they heard our Lord weakly utter those final words to heaven, "Father, into your hand I commend my spirit." In the aftermath of these horrific events, they knew that Joseph of Arimathea, probably along with Nicodemus, had asked permission from Pilate that they might bury the body of Jesus. These two men were secret admirers of Jesus, and they were also distinguished members of the Jewish ruling council, which is probably why Pilate granted their request. And so Joseph and Nicodemus took the lifeless body of Jesus to a new garden tomb carved out of rock, which Joseph had intended one day would be his place of burial. And so Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Jesus, and Salome had followed them to the tomb. They had observed all of this at a distance. Being a wealthy man, Joseph bought spices and linens that he might embalm his dead master's body. He and Nicodemus had wrapped the lifeless corpse of Jesus in a linen shroud as best as they could, and they had begun to anoint the body with spices. But they were forced to abandon their efforts because the Sabbath would begin at sundown. In accordance with the commandment, you see, they were not allowed to do any work once the Saturday Sabbath began on what would be Friday evening around 6 for us. And so they were forced to seal off the tomb with a very large and heavy stone with the help of Roman guards who had been sent by Pilate to keep watch over Jesus' body and to see that his tomb was left undisturbed. Now that the Sabbath was over, these women returned to pay their last respects to Jesus. Without having the foresight of our hindsight, They did not know that this would one day be called Easter morning for future generations of Christians. And though they admired what Joseph and Nicodemus had done for Jesus, as women, they knew they needed to return to the tomb and to anoint his body properly. For what had been done by the men had been done in haste. These three women were determined to return to the site of his burial, to pay homage to their dead rabbi, to anoint his body more suitably, more appropriately for its final resting place. And so that's where our text begins, in the pre-dawn darkness of Easter morning. As these women are observed slowly and sadly making their way back to that place where all hope had ended for them just 2 days earlier. As they made their way back to the tomb, they naturally recalled the tomb as they had left it. These three grieving women had been among the last to leave the tomb. They had lingered in sorrow, in solemn silence, at a distance on the day Christ died. And now they painfully recollected, in what we might call post-traumatic fashion, how the tomb had been sealed off with a massive stone that had been rolled downhill across the opening and then wedged very tightly into place. They watched the tomb as the Roman soldiers sealed it off and began their assigned duty of guarding it. And so as they made their way back to the tomb, they worried and asked this question among themselves: who will roll away the stone for us? Now, in actuality, the things of this Sunday morning were not as they remembered them from Friday. Not even close. The huge stone had been moved from its place, we are told, by a great earthquake caused from an angel coming down from heaven. You see, this angel had been assigned by God to roll away the stone from the entrance so that our Lord Jesus could step out of the tomb as a man alive. In fact, the removal of this great stone was a divine testimony that our Lord really was alive. For in reality, Christ had already risen from the dead. He had already stepped out of his grave before these women ever arrived at the tomb. This has great spiritual implications for all humanity. As one Easter hymn verse puts it, the resurrection of Jesus proves the victory remains with life, for the reign of death has ended. But these women were not yet part of the Easter victory because they didn't know about it. In fact, all they could visualize in their mind's eye was that heavy stone, that immovable obstacle that blocked access to the tomb. Their only thought at this point was, who will roll away that stone for us so that we might anoint our master's dead body? You see, they just could not imagine that Jesus was alive. Not after the grisly and ghastly way they had watched him suffer and die. All they could imagine was the limp and lifeless corpse of Jesus that they had seen sealed deep inside the rock-hewn tomb in the side of that hill. And that's what they imagined they were returning to. And so, the curious fact is that even though the resurrection of our Lord was now an objective historical fact, and alleluias had already begun to be sung in heaven because of our Lord's triumph over sin and death and Satan, yet Easter had not yet occurred for these women personally. You see, they could not rejoice as you and I can on this side of Easter. And so these women continued to grieve. They had no idea that things had changed. And yet things had changed. Death had been swallowed up by life, even though for these weeping women nothing had changed. They weren't returning to the tomb out of hope or any kind of optimism, but only to pay sad tribute to their fallen leader. Because they had not yet arrived at the physical location of the tomb, all they could picture was that stone that they had left behind on Friday. The visualization of that stone blocking the entrance to that tomb, it was painful. It was a painful reminder that they were forever to be separated from Jesus. The stone was more than a stone. It was symbolic of death, which was the real barrier that was keeping them from communing with Jesus. But you know, the sad part of it all is that none of their fears and none of their burdens were real. None of their sadness, none of their gloom, none of their despair was even necessary. As they returned to anoint the corpse of Jesus, their memories of these events caused them to imagine the worst. Their perspective was skewed because of these events they had lived through. Their anticipation of what they were going to find, however, did not accord with Easter reality. For here is the reality, my friends. The stone had been rolled away because death could not hold Jesus. No matter what their own subjective feelings were telling them, the objective reality on that day was that sin and death and the devil had finally and forever been defeated. Jesus has triumphed over your greatest enemies. There wasn't a stone blocking the entrance to the tomb any longer. And you know why? Because God wants you to know that there is now nothing that stands between you and He, thanks to Jesus. The barrier stone that had barred admission to the tomb had been removed, just as the barrier wall that might block our access to heaven has been removed since that first Easter. Jesus was alive, and He is ever interceding for you and I at the right hand of God. We have a living Savior who is not only with us on this earth, but at the same time is our advocate and our friend in heaven, even now. Because He lives, you will live too. You will live forever in the most wonderful joy imaginable. Because He stepped out of that grave on Easter morning, death is no longer in control. On Easter, what we are witnessing is, in reality, the death of death. Life is now in control because our risen Lord Jesus rules. He has the power of the keys that lock hell and unlock heaven for us, so that when we die, we will be raised again. Because that's what His resurrection assures, the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. All need for worry or fear or dread about going through the death process is really needless for those who believe in Jesus. Eventually, the three women themselves would become convinced of this, and they would be overjoyed. But notice how their joy does not coincide with the exact moment of the resurrection. Notice their joy will come later. It would not be until the risen Lord came to them and convinced their hearts that they were able to experience Easter. Now, with that background, I would like to tell you that there is a group here this morning who are similar to the women of our text. For you too have come to pay your respects to God, but you may not know the true joy of Easter. Some of you are only with us today because your wife pleaded that you come with the family and make Easter a family event. Others of you are younger and your parents simply made the decision that you would come, although you do not see the importance of this day. Still others of you are from out of town and you felt obliged to attend these services since that was the custom of those who were hosting you in their home. Still others of you came simply because of the urging and encouragement of your friends who want you to experience the same joy they have found in Easter. And yet there are others of you who have joined us today to find out if there is anything to Christianity and to its celebration of Easter that might help you fill the void in your life. And then there are those who are already churchgoers, who have heard many Easter sermons through the years, but for whatever reason, the true meaning of Easter has eluded you. And so no matter which of these groups you fall into, you will continue to live guilty and burdened and fearful lives. Because for you, it is as if the stone had not yet been rolled away. In each of your cases, it's as if there were still this massive obstacle, this stone that blocks your access to God as a loving Father, that blocks you from the good news that God wants to share this Easter morning. It's as if a heavy stone were rolled across the door of your own heart to keep you in the dark about the joyful and victorious blessings that God would have flow into your lives as a result of Easter. Some of you sitting here today are the modern equivalent of Mary and Salome. As they made their way to the tomb. For objectively and historically, the stone has been rolled away. Jesus has come forth from the tomb alive, and he is triumphant. But personally and subjectively, you are still living as if that stone were in front of his tomb, as if it had never budged from its place. Now, it's understandable how the burdens and the cares and the worries of this life make it seem as if there is an immovable obstacle in front of you. I know how easy it is to focus on our problems so that we do not realize that God has given us the very best solution in the death and resurrection of his Son. But you must know, he has rolled away the stone. Sin has been conquered. Satan has been vanquished. Unending life has been restored, and it has been promised to you by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. 2,000 years after the fact of our Lord's resurrection, many of us are still no further along in our faith development than these three women who returned to the tomb. And we may still be asking God, who's going to roll away the stone for me? For us, this heavy stone remains, and it seals Christ off from us so that we do not truthfully live with the joy of the Lord's resurrection. Some of us know that Jesus is risen, but we do not live like it. For we often find ourselves anxious and burdened and worried, like these women who walked to the tomb. Imagine this. Imagine that you had been condemned to die and you were waiting on death row in a small, dark prison cell. The locked door served as a reminder that your fate was sealed. There was no way to escape the destiny of your death. But now imagine that just prior to your execution, through some miraculous, unexpected turn of events, the governor of your state orders a stay of execution. The judge reverses your conviction based on new evidence and orders your release. The jailer comes and unlocks the door, along with your lawyer, and tells you that all charges against you have been dismissed and you are free to go. But you're so overcome with fear that you hide your face in the corner. You do not hear their good news. You do not see that the door to your prison has been opened. Until such time as they convince you, you remain a prisoner, burdened with a heavy heart, even though the stone is rolled away. In the same way, my friends, it is not enough that Jesus lives, but you must also know that your Redeemer lives in order that you might experience the joy that he intends for you this day. I plead with you, don't let your religious experience, don't let your spiritual existence tell you that you are still consigned to death row. For now that Jesus Christ is risen, you, my friends, are free. Your death sentence has been overturned. After moving his own stone, Jesus now wants to roll away your stone, that stone that would bar access to the experiencing of life and the joy of salvation you have in his name. For my friends, you are free from death, and you are free from the fear of death. Because of Easter, you are forgiven. Because of Easter, you will live forever, thanks to our Savior, who has been victorious and rolled away the stone. This, my friends, is Easter. Embrace it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.